Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to part two of our interview with James Edward Garcia about haunted, abandoned locations.
If it can be pinpointed, if it is a residential location or a smaller area where you know who it is who's speaking and there are the living around who are relatives who are still alive, that's one thing to be able to communicate, hey, here's some interesting information that pertains to someone who is related to you, versus in a giant location where you may not know who this voice is, what their message is, or who needs to know about it, if anyone, if anyone alive is still, you know, even would have any recognition of that. Tell me more about some of the locations that you've gone to, some of the most haunted in your opinion that you visited that really stood out to you as being super hot spots of activity.
Well, there's definitely a lot of them, and you know, there's some that are so scary because of the fact that I'm going to a place that I'm called trespassing because that's what I was doing in asylums and whatnot. And there's big fortresses and they're so creepy. And I've got the factor I could get caught being there. Could be somebody in there that's homeless or drug addict. And, you know, my life could be in danger. You got the elements of animals and of things decaying, coming down. You could fall through a structure. So that makes it that much more creepy and scary to me. Mm-hmm. Putting aside just saying just straight out haunting stuff, I know not too long ago I did investigation. Well, it was 2018 now, like the summer of, late summer, Hales Bar Dam. And I saw you had done an episode on that. I don't know who you spoke with, but I had done that with my wife. And I was surprised because going there, I thought, you know, it's Hales Bar, it's a dam. And okay. It's not that creepy. It's this one structure still up there and, you know, it has a few other spots within it. And a lot of it's torn down and it's a dam.
Sure.
A building. But it was, I was surprised. It definitely turned my eyes to like, wow, this place has got stuff going on. It was very active for me and my wife. And we experienced some stuff that we experienced together. There's that one stairway that leads up to like a standing little box area that once that wall went out to another stairs that went down to another structure, but it's been closed off. Some people call it like a catwalk. And I think even the Ghost Adventures, maybe they captured something there too. But anyway, that was, things happened up there, and I'll put that aside. I haven't even gone over the footage yet. I'm just going by from memory. Mm-hmm. Been going through the footage, but looking out from there over the water that's there to the other side of the structure, there was this area, it was a block area where you could kind of see some light, and it was a weird, it was so strange. I had to even look in through a camera at one point to see what the heck it was, but to the eyes, it almost looked like somebody was projecting a film. And into this one section of a room back there or a wall, because it was so far away. But you see this thing moving. It was like a figure just moving around, like doing simple things, like it would move down, move up. And you could, I was like, what am I seeing? So I'm just sitting there watching it moving around. And I was like, makes no sense. This is something going on. I don't know what the hell it is. So my wife was below while I'm in the catwalk. She's just right below there down the stairs. And I told her, you need to come up here and see something and tell me what you see. Didn't even want to tell her what it was. She comes up. I show her, stare out this way. I'm going to go down. I went down the stairs, so I'm not even influencing her at all. And she's, I see her mouth open. She's like, what? Oh, no. And she's like freaking out. She's like pacing at that point. I would look again. And I knew she was experiencing something like I was. And then I'm like, what is it? And she's saying pretty much like a film projection. I see this thing. But she said as she moved a little one way, the thing would mimic her and move like that. And then it was like mimicking her. And that's not what happened to me. So I said, oh, well, that's definitely not a shadow of herself. She's seeing the distance. And I had her go back and do it again. It's, she freaked out and she said, I'm getting out of here. I don't want to be up there anymore. She was freaked out by that. Did not want to look at it anymore. We went back to that area, trying to figure out. We could not find what that heck it was. We went up to that part. It was an upper floor area. And I don't know. Very strange. And I'm looking forward to the film because I set up cameras just to film straight right there to see what the heck the camera captures. Even though it's a far distance, it's a pitch black. I do have infrared going, but, you know, that was some distance. So I hope it's not too pixelated to see what that would be.
Sure. What would you say would be one of the darkest encounters that you've had while doing an investigation?
Well, I could say there's a sanatorium that comes to mind in Long Island, New York, and it's not one that's like open to the public, like Waverly or something like that. But mm-hmm. I know since then, by the way, I think they might have tore it down. They were starting to, when I left Long Island, moved, they were gutting the place already. But there was a lower, it's like a basement level area in one of the hospital buildings of the sanatorium I was in alone. And yes, I was trespassing. And they had a crematorium in there and body slabs. And right by there was this theater they had in there with all the chairs and all. I was in the theater and there was a piano that was half, like one of the legs was broken. It was on its side. And I was saying, can somebody play the piano? Can somebody do something? And I hear a string go, bing, one of those sounds within the piano. And I know I freaked out. I was like, whoa, I got so scared because it was already creepy as it is. Mm-hmm. And I had to get my composure. It's like, oh, this is what I want. You know, I want stuff like that. So I went by it. Can you do it again or something? And I remember it happened again. And I was so scared. I didn't know what to do. I was just freaked out by it. But that is what I wanted. And I remember I saw shadow movement within there at that time. It was like really active in that room, that theater. And yeah, that was so creepy to me. I had a hard time. I really had a fight to stay in that place to keep filming because I'm getting what I want, capturing stuff. I haven't even gone over the footage yet, which is crazy. And in that place too, I remember another section, not in that hospital part, yeah, it was like voices, and it was a section was for kids too. That's what it was, because I remember kid stuff on the walls. God, that was so creepy. There was something moving around, and it was freaking me out. I thought it was another person, but you know, somebody else could have snuck in there exploring or whatever.
Sure.
But nobody around. And it was just a creepy area. But yeah, that one section that really freaked me out and stays with me. And that, as a matter of fact, I got really sick that night. And I think and when I say sick, it wasn't like something consumed me or went into me, which has happened to me before. Like, I feel like I was almost, I don't want to say possessed, but something like that. My body was invaded with some spirit or entity or something. But this was more, I got so sick, and it took me about a week to recover. I came down with what I would call like flu-like symptoms. And yeah, I had to go to the hospital. It was bad.
Do you think when things like that happen, and we hear that quite often, where people literally get sick, they're ill, flu-like symptoms after investigating a location or visiting a location with really strong negative energy attached to them? In your opinion, is that something where there's some sort of entity that, you know, for whatever you want to call it, put a hex, put a curse, put a something on you to make you sick? Or is it more so a natural reaction of our bodies being in an area where almost, you know, so much energy is drained out of us that it's our body's natural reaction to that fact, almost like being dehydrated. You feel sick in that way, but it's a dehydration of some sort that occurs when in an area with energy of that nature.
Yeah, so in this case, I definitely think that if you're around a place that has negative energy, and just like it drains batteries, I think it drains your energy, and so you're more susceptible to catching stuff like your immune system's down, basically. So yeah, you can catch stuff, and if you're in an environment that's not the most cleansly like I was in, you know, all of these things decaying in there, and who knows? I mean, you could have possible asbestos in there and everything else. So yeah, you put all that together, you have a more high percentage chance of getting sick based on that.
Sure. It's one of those things where it kind of comes along with the territory. Was there ever a time, or has there been a time where you've walked away? Because you had mentioned almost attachment type things going on in some locations with you. Have you ever walked away from something going, okay, maybe we're pushing the bar a little bit too far. Maybe I've had enough of seeing these places. I don't want to go through that again.
Yeah, that definitely has happened to me, and I have pretty much cut back on going into trespassing, especially in some of these places, but taking its toll on me, like that time with that flu thing I told you about, and it's the environment is not conducive to healthy breathing and being around that stuff, and you're enclosed, and a lot of it's boarded off, so you're really just in a place where you're not getting any airflow, and it's just decay in there and all those bad things like asbestos and whatnot.
Sure.
And so I got so sick that it's like, oh, I'm getting older now, a lot older, and I'm starting to feel it just going to places now, and moving gear around up and down stairs and all is already, I'm feeling the pain from just doing that. So you add the other part in there. And then the other element is, when I had in that one asylum where I had something possessed me of some sort, and that's what I think it was, where I had no control of my body anymore. I was in cold sweats and spasms, and I felt like I was dying, and the life force was being drained from me. And I mean, stuff was like even my nose was running, and everything, my body was being drained, and I was in shivers, and I was just in a fetal position, and I went into a state of praying, thinking, I'm dying, please. Please, God, help me. Please, I want to live. And going from that to where eventually I started to feel a little more at ease, and if things started to progress, you know, degressively go away of that. And so I get my strength back and realizing what's going on. And it's like, oh, I got to stop doing this. You know, this is, look what it did to me. I thought this was the end. So it is a real thing, and I've gotten scratched before at places and whatnot, and I still would go do it again. You know, I still provoke if it's going to mean I'm going to capture something, you know, or get something to react or communicate in that way because of past experiences other people had. But yeah, it does take its toll. So I haven't completely stopped, you know, provocation. But
sure.
the places that are really decayed and bad shape and trespassing, I've cut back on that. And I've got a lot of footage from places I haven't put out yet. So it's not like I have no reservoir of material to put out there in that respect. Mm-hmm. But I just was the other night, late afternoon Sunday through the night, me and my wife were just at Octagon Hall in Kentucky. We just got back, and so I'm still drained from that. And that place is a place I'd been to before with her, like back in 2017 with a group of people, but this time just us. And I'm just exhausted because it's all, you know, it's an all-night thing. And for me, I'm setting up all the gear, all types of things, and moving to different rooms up and down between the basement, the second level, the third level, you know, all that, and just getting every area of the place to see maybe one area will capture more than others, and then we'll go back to that and do other things. It was like, I remember the 13th hour of doing it, my wife's like, I'm exhausted. And she was scared too, I'll admit. The time before we did it, we were with other people, and she was like, oh, yeah, it's okay, you know, a little creepy, not so bad. This time she was real scared because it's just us, and there was a lot of bugs in there.
Sure. Inside.
This is summertime, and you know, the place is pretty much just left. It's a museum, but there's not many people going in there other than paranormal groups or when they do a small tour. And there's a lot of elements starting to creep their way into that place.
Sure. Something most people don't really consider when we're talking about investigating haunted locations, abandoned locations specifically, is not so much the encounters with the undead, but what can be much scarier and have much more of a dangerous impact would be an encounter with the living. Have you ever had an encounter like that while you were investigating an abandoned location, a run-in with another individual who probably shouldn't have been there as well?
Oh, yeah. That is definitely much scarier to me.
And how did that go, and how did you handle it?
Oh, yeah. So I'll say because of that, I'll be out of the places when I'm alone, but possibly somebody could have broke in. And so I got scared again because of my previous experiences. So abandoned asylum in Long Island. And I remember I was on a floor of the location of one of the buildings there, and I saw above me the ceiling, like stuff was coming down. Oh my God, gee, what the heck? It was like pretty strong. And I hear like sounds like, I go up on a stairway to go up. I was like, this is crazy. And there was like three guys, and they were ripping out copper piping from the place. Mm-hmm. And they see me. I have my camera, and it's on, but I hadn't pointed it right at them at that moment, but I had a light on it.
Yeah.
They come at me, you know, they're talking real strong language, and they're like, what are you effing filming us for? You know, they're like, take his camera, and they come at me. I'm like, guys, I got so scared. So I'm sorry. So I said, I do ghost hunting. I'm just looking for ghosts. I didn't know you guys are here. I'm like a little child scared for my life. That was my reaction. So, yeah. And they were very intimidating. They came up right on me. I turned my camera off right away.
Yeah.
Please. I was pleading with them. I said, and I started telling them, oh, guys, you got to be careful. There's your spiders. Oh, they were attacking me. You got to watch it for that. And I didn't bring up anything about what they were doing, which I knew what they were doing, but sure. They were big guys. I know they could have killed me. I don't know if they had guns. Nobody pulled a gun on me, but it was very scary because I knew there's nothing I could do. I'm in this abandoned big fortress where nobody's going to know. I can scream and nobody's going to come to save me
or
help me. So that was really a scary moment for me.
I'm assuming eventually they kind of backed off. What happened there? I'm curious as to exactly how that ended. What transpired?
Yeah, I never knew I want to say scaredy cat I am, but I tried everything. I mean, I was like pleading with them, and then I said, I'm sorry. And I said, look, guys, you know, this is all I do. I said stuff like, if you're exploring, you know, I don't care. You know, I'm not interested in what you're doing. Here they are with big duffel bags and stuff.
Yeah.
And I see piping on the floor. I know what they're doing. But I played stupid. I figured play stupid. You know, I just went into this mode. I never knew I could go into for survival.
Yeah.
And they were like, all right. Well, you get out of here. You know, they'd be like that. You know, we don't want you. They start slowing down, talking like that. I was like, thank you. I said, yeah, I agree. I said, and guys, watch out, the spiders. Like, I'm helping them, you know?
Yeah.
They cared less when I was like,
sure.
And then so I quickly moved on, and I got out of that building at that point. But what did I do? I went into another building. So I was like, okay, I'll go to another one. I know what these guys are doing. And I paid attention more. It's like, I didn't see their car out there or anything. And I don't know when they got in there, but.
Yeah.
So part of me is like, oh, what a wuss I am. But no, you know what? It's survival. You know, who knows what would have happened if I hadn't done that. So,
yeah, I mean, that's something where, you know, obviously we're not going to condone trespassing or anything. And probably after years of doing it and realizing the dangers, that you probably don't either. But it's one of those things where even if you're not trespassing, if you're on an area where you just don't know who you're going to run into alone and significant distance from the other nearest human being, you can come across a situation that is not going to end in just capturing spirits on tape. Years ago, I remember going through a haunted cemetery, and then we walked through a forest to look at these grottos that had been set up, and no longer there, but very creepy just to find in the dark in the woods late at night. And as we were filming and walking through, we started kind of hearing rustling, and we were more concerned about other humans out there because there had been stories, documented news stories, of people using the area for satanic rituals on top of these old, altars that were, you know, for the cross, and walking in on one of their ceremonies with a camera or an audio recorder at that point in time, and not being so welcome. But that sometimes can be even scarier than the dead. However, obviously, you've had many experiences where it leads to oppression and things of that nature, which can be just as scary and even longer lasting at times.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I saw you had something with South Pittsburgh Hospital, too. You spoke with somebody, mm-hmm. which I'm looking forward to listening to. But so I was the first, maybe the last that I know of, that did a solo investigation at the South Pittsburgh Hospital. Whole night to myself in there. So, and there's three episodes out on it. So there was one point, I mean, I had such crazy things happen in there, some of which I did not see, some of the most scary stuff. Like I have this, there was a thing, there's toys on the floor of the third floor of the wing where, I guess it was a psychiatric wing at one point and maybe a drug addict wing at one point. But there's toys on the floor for little, you know, spirit children or whatever to play with. And there's this one, what was it? It was like a horsey thing. Not a horse. Maybe it was like a, I don't remember what it was. It was like a little rocking, maybe like a horse. But anyway, the thing moves on its own. And I got it on a static camera. Didn't see it when it happened. But that was one of those moments when I was watching for something to happen. And I'll tell you, you're watching hours of static cameras where nothing's happening. And you kind of go into the state where like, then that thing moves. I jumped out of my seat.
Sure.
Wow. I couldn't believe it. So that was interesting. But the thing I was going to bring up at the South Pittsburgh Hospital was I was in one area and I had static cameras wherever floor I'd be on. I'd have them running and I'd be in another area with just a video camera going as I'm walking around. And all of a sudden I hear a big slam and I freaked out. I'm in the middle of talking about whatever. And I thought, somebody's in here. Oh no, I freaked out because it was, you know, that hospital's in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh. I had the place myself. There was a lock on the door, but people could break into that place if they wanted to. So the woman, and I'm trying to remember, it was a Stacy, I think. You know, she gave me the lock. I locked it up. There was supposed to be a police officer actually patrol around there because they do have problems with people trying to break in there once in a while. Mm-hmm. So he was going to patrol that night because it was part of what she did. I said, great, you know. Hey, I've never had that before. I'm in an abandoned place. And I got police looking out for me. But that was when in Gallatin they had a fire, a big fire happened. It was a big to-do in Tennessee. So the police officer got pulled to do that. And I found that out at the last minute. So I knew there was no way I'm going to be patrolling. And here I was thinking, oh, I got the comfort of knowing the safety of knowing somebody's going to be watching, which if she hadn't introduced that, I probably wouldn't have thought about it. But that was just pulled and swept away from me. And I was like, no safety no more.
Yeah.
And then that door slammed somewhere. I knew it had to be a door. It just sounded like it was loud. I got so scared. So, of course, I had to go look around to see where the heck this was coming from. And I saw one door that was closed in an area I knew the doors weren't closed. And so when I went back in the footage, and I'm checking the door out in the film to see, was this closed? Was it not? Will it close if I move it and stuff? Just trying the door out. Anyway, on the film, when I look back, it does close on its own. Pretty cool. that was nobody that did that, and that was a scary moment that fits that criteria you're talking about.
Thanks for listening to part two of our interview with James Edward Garcia about haunted abandoned locations. Check out his YouTube page at My Haunted Diary. Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.